Yo, yo, what is going on, my fellow wrestling fans? Welcome to a brand new week, and welcome to a brand new edition of what we like to call the Clash of Le Champions, where we talk about the different personalities, storylines, controversies, and everything in between that center around this world we know and love as professional wrestling. I am your host, the vegan you believe in, Conscious Kurt, a.k.a. the professor in the flesh as always, and my co-host needs no introduction, but the hell with it. He's going to give y'all one anyway.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, this is tag team partner Jonathan Randall, the Adventurer himself, at your service, and welcome to our wrestling podcast, our soap opera that we like to call. And yeah, so much going on in the world of wrestling as always, and here we go. Kurt, how you been?
I've been good, bro. Just been exploring Jersey, parts of Jersey, including Jersey City. Yesterday I had a very good time out there, watched a little basketball, and yeah, had a good time. And I've been really enjoying the build for Survivor Series, which we're going to get into today, because a lot has gone down since we talked to you guys last week, including a new president.
Yeah, we said, like I said in our last episode from last week, I told you by the time our last episode dropped, we will have a new president in the White House, and we do. And Kurt, yeah, I've seen your photos from New Jersey. I've pretty much seen everything from New York and New Jersey. It looks wonderful. But yeah, Survivor Series is on the horizon. The card is shaping up, and one big match has already been, two big matchups has been already been on the card right now. So.
Yes, and one of those main matches that was made official as of Friday on SmackDown is the match we knew we were going to get, but we are getting it. It is going to be Bloodline Civil War. The original Bloodline against the Dollar Tree Bloodline, and the way this all went down this past Friday on SmackDown is with the meeting between Roman, the Usos, and Sami Zayn, and Sami Zayn said he would be willing to be on the team if Roman would apologize to Jey Uso for everything he put Jey Uso through over the years. And Roman acted like he was going to apologize, but really what he was apologizing for was the fact that he allowed Jey Uso to waste his time talking to Sammy in the first place.
Yeah, man, that whole segment, it was a very emotional segment, you know, because, you know, all four of them has been through a lot with each other. They all have a history with each other. So a lot went down in that segment, to the point where, you know, you don't know what was the conclusion in all of this. And Roman pretty much felt like this was a waste of time. He walked away, and we did not get no definitive answer from the original tribal chief, Roman Reigns.
Yeah, so that pissed off Sami Zayn, obviously, and also the Usos, to the point where Roman talked down to them, and that got them pissed at him. So later in the night, Solo Sikoa called out Roman, and Roman came out on his own without anybody, and then Solo asked Roman to acknowledge him once and for all as his tribal chief, which Roman, to no surprise, refused to do. And then Solo challenged Roman to go to war for War Games, and he's asked him to find four different partners. And then Roman pointed out the fact that Solo only has three partners of his, and then Solo said our fifth partner is none other than Sami Zayn.
Ooh, and he looked shocked when he found out about that. But before we get any further, you saw that segment, that backstage segment from Jacob Fatu.
Oh, when like Roman was calling out Solo, and then Jacob said he doesn't answer your calls, he doesn't come out to you, he only comes out when he feels like it.
That was a badass promo by him. That right there, ladies and gentlemen, shows why he has a bright future. He has a very bright future. Like how the way he delivered that promo was just was spot on perfect. And I've seen his promos before he even came, you know, up to the WWE. He's very intense and just very vocal and just in your face. I love that. I love that whole segment. So that promo that he cut, loved it.
Yeah, he definitely has a bright future. I was even saying a few months ago that in many ways he's been outshining Solo, kind of like The Rock did with Farouk and The Nation.
I mean, don't get me wrong, though. They've been up at each other. I think the one thing I like about Solo is, like, Solo's been more charismatic with himself lately. So let's give him credit with that.
Yeah, he's doing better with his mannerisms and his facial expressions than he was, like, you know, when this whole thing first started. But in any event, it looked like Sami Zayn was coming out to join Solo's team. But then as this is going on, Solo and the rest of the Dollar Tree bloodline attacked Roman. And that brought out the Usos to come help out, but they were still outnumbered. And then Solo held up Roman for Sami Zayn to kick him in the face. But then what did Sami Zayn do? He kicked Solo in the face. And that allowed Roman, the Usos, and Sami to clear everyone out of the ring, including Roman spearing Solo Sikoa. And as Jimmy, Jay, and Sami put their fingers up in the air, Roman put his finger up in the air to end the segment and to officially pretty much establish the fact that the original bloodline is back together.
Thus making the match official for Survivor Series at War Games. So you'll have the original bloodline of Roman Reigns, the Usos, and Sami Zayn versus Solo Sikoa, Jacob Fatu, Tangaloa.
And Tama Tonga.
Yeah. We knew this was going to happen, but hey, look, we all knew this was going to happen from the get-go, okay? But, like, again, as fans, let's appreciate that. The whole thing that happened that night, the whole build-up in the segment alone and just what happened at the end of the night of SmackDown, let's just appreciate that. That was a great moment to look at.
Yeah, I mean, this whole thing has really felt rushed. But the segments where, like, everybody, you know, decides to side with Roman again have been well done. From Jimmy Uso coming back at Bad Blood, and then Jey Uso joining up with them, to now Sami joining up with them. All the segments where that's all gone down has been done well. But now, even though we thought it was going to be 4-on-4 at War Games, apparently it's going to be 5-on-5. Which, personally, I don't think is necessary. I think the people they have in the match already is enough. But from what we saw on Raw Monday, it started to make a little sense why they're doing it 5-on-5. As Sami, Jimmy, and Jay were talking about how they need a fifth person on their team. And Sami said he knew a guy. And that guy that he knew turned out to be Roman's old stablemate in the Shield, Seth freaking Rollins.
I don't understand the whole idea of it. I'm going to tell you this. I do know one thing. With Survivor Series coming up, this is the perfect time, perfect place to have Paul Heyman to come back.
Yeah, I see that happening too. But Sami initially did ask Seth Rollins to be on the team, and Seth was like, bro, you're out of your mind. After everything Roman did to me, after everything Roman did to you, you think you can actually trust him? You're just going to build him back up again? Like, nah, bro, I'm not having this. And then later that night, Seth Rollins ran into Solo and Jacob Fatu, and then Solo tried to lure him to be on the team, and he said, I'll never team up with Roman Reigns, and I'll also never team up with a Roman Reigns wannabe.
Hey, literally tell him like how it is, man. I mean, you can't blame him for that. I don't know. I think the whole idea behind all that was weird. I mean, because, like, look, I get that Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns used to be on the Shield, but it doesn't make any sense to put him in this match. It's weird.
Yeah, and Seth is still feuding with Bronson Reed, and they had another brawl on Raw on Mondays, and it was made official that they're going to fight this Monday on Raw. So I feel like what's going to happen now is the Dollar Tree bloodline is going to come out and cost Seth the match, and that's going to lead Seth to joining Roman's team, and possibly Bronson Reed being on Solo's team.
That's weird. I don't know. That's a bit weird. It makes no sense because it's like they don't intertwine with each other. You know what I mean? It's like, how often has, look, the last time Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins got into it with each other was, how long ago? Was it 2 years ago?
The last time Roman and Seth got into it was actually WrestleMania. Remember when they fought in the tag match on night one? Then on night two, Roman hit Seth with the chair, and that ended up distracting Roman enough where it cost him the match in the end.
Yeah, but I'm also was talking about like actual like one-on-one deep storyline with each other. It was during the Royal Rumble, which was never finished. The storyline that was never finished.
It wasn't, but now with I guess trying to get everybody on the show, maybe not loading the show up too much, this was their way of going about it. But I think it was fine just being 4-on-4. I think it was perfect the way it was, but apparently they need to have 5 people on each team, so this is their way of going about it. I mean, it makes sense because, you know, Seth and Roman have that history, and this whole thing in the last few months has basically been building to everybody who Roman, like, you know, abused with his power, who, like, eventually left him and had enough of his shit, like, now, you know, joining his side again. So I guess Rollins isn't a bad pick in that sense.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. It is weird. It kind of like a little, like a last minute thing they're doing, especially when Seth Rollins is right now feuding with Bronson Reed. You know what I mean? So it is weird. But look, Paul Heyman needs to come back. The wise man needs to come
back.
I'm
sure he'll be back.
Series. The perfect place and a perfect time. That'll be epic.
Yeah, he just had a reunion with Caleb Braxton over the weekend, from what I saw.
Caleb Braxton?
Yeah, they, like, reunited at, like, some convention.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw the photos, yep.
Okay, so we have Team Roman versus Team Solo at Survivor Series. This is really built well overall, like, you know, ever since WrestleMania when Solo started that new bloodline and everything that's happened in between, you know, adding the new members and then putting out Heyman, Roman coming back, then Jimmy coming back, Jay, and Sammy recently, now Rollins is getting added. Yeah, overall, this is built up well, and I think this will be the biggest main event for PLE since WrestleMania.
You know, and not only that, I think this match as a whole, you know, you're talking about the history of Survivor Series, this is probably so far in this era, I think this is by far probably like one of the biggest anticipated matches in Survivor Series history when you look at it.
Yeah, from top to bottom, the way this story's been told, the personalities involved, yeah, I cannot wait for November 30th, son. Now Survivor Series feels like one of the
day big after my birthday.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Day after my birthday. You know what's a damn shame, though, which is sad? You see, originally the rumor was that Survivor Series was supposed to be in L.A., in Inglewood, in the
Forum.
Intuit Dome, the new, not the Forum, the Intuit Dome, the new arena they built for the Clippers.
Oh, shit, I did not know that.
Yeah, the Clippers have a new arena that they just finished building. The rumor, allegedly, they were going to have Survivor Series there for this year, though, but instead he moved to Vancouver. But the good news is the first night Raw will be on Netflix. That's Raw will be in that arena in L.A., in Inglewood.
Okay. Should be a good look.
No, I mean, because I'm going to be out of town. And I thought, I mean, if Survivor Series was going to be there, I was like, oh, my God, that'll be great, you know, to go there. You know, it was a little, you know, little birthday thing for me. But no, it is what it is, though. But
yeah, more than likely going to go to Saturday night's main event. It just feels like it would be the right idea to go. It's the place where the original Saturday night's main event took place back in 85. I went to that arena once back in 98 for a house show. We had an amazing time. So it'd be cool to go there. Also, Jesse Ventura is going to be there, too.
Yeah. Probably as a
commentator.
Doing like ring commentating, right?
Yeah.
Yep, figured.
And also what's been made official for Survivor Series is the World Heavyweight Championship rematch between the Ring General, Gunther, and Damian Priest. And funny enough, this is going to mark the very first time that the same championship match from SummerSlam is going to be taking place at Survivor Series in the same year.
Exactly. And I called it. I wanted to see it. There will be a World Heavyweight Championship match at Survivor Series. It's the right decision what they did, and I love it. And you know, it was a little discouraging to see that finish, what happened at SummerSlam, because Damian Priest lost that match because of Finn Balor. So now we're gonna see another match. We're probably gonna see a finish that we all deserve with no interference, hopefully. So I'm all for it.
Yeah, and also one thing I was all for was the segment they had together on Raw, where basically Damian Priest punked out Gunther, where like he basically predicted all of Gunther's insults before he could even say them, and then he basically said, like, when I first met you, I understood the whole vibe around you, why people were so scared of you and all that, but then after SummerSlam, like when you won the way you did, I could see that vibe of you starting to fade. And then it faded even more when you lost to Cody at Crown Jewel. And that's why I know you haven't even tried to touch me, because you know if you try, I'm going to lay your ass out. Gunther, like, couldn't even say shit back.
Got him with that one.
And then Ludwig Kaiser came out to try to interrupt, and then he tried to speak up for Gunther, and then Gunther tried to stop him, but then Ludwig Kaiser wouldn't stop, and then Damian Priest, like, knocked down Ludwig Kaiser, knocked him out of the ring, and then he dared Gunther to step to him, and then Gunther just walked away. Mind game, son.
I know, and because of that, that resulted in a match between Ludwig Kaiser and Damian Priest later that night.
Which Damian Priest obviously won, no surprise. Yeah, but I like this segment. This segment, like, really spiced things up. It, like, really, like, showed a vulnerable side of Gunther that we haven't really seen before. And, yeah, like, now I'm really amped for this match. I'm really liking the way they're building it so far.
I do, too. And, like I said, I'm always excited to see a championship match. But especially at this event, I feel like lately Survivor Series rarely will put a world championship match on that card for that event.
Yeah, the last time we had a championship match at Survivor Series was 2019.
Oh, that's another favorite of mine, actually. That's funny. I like that Survivor Series.
Yes, five years this year.
From 2019, that weird year.
Yeah, it was a bad year for the most part, but that Survivor Series was fun with NXT being involved.
Oh, yeah, that was the reason. That was the main reason.
Yeah, so we have Damian Priest and Gunther for the championship. I'm looking forward to that. That's another big match for us to look forward to on the show. And what we could potentially see at Survivor Series also is Cody Rhodes defending the WWE title against Kevin Owens. After this past Friday, Kevin Owens laid out Randy Orton with a pile driver that was so devastating that Randy Orton had to be carried out on a stretcher.
A move, Kurt, that was pretty much banned for almost 11 years. I think the last time we saw a pile driver was when CM Punk pile drive John Cena on that classic match on Raw back in 2013. But yeah, that move since then has been banned, but I was actually surprised.
It was even banned back then. They got in trouble for doing that.
Oh, okay. I thought that's when they... Okay, I didn't know that it was banned before that, but...
No, it's been banned for years.
Wow.
It's still banned, but they just did it. But it just happened, like, in that one spot. Although, I don't think Kevin Owens, like, hit it, like, the way that typically gets
no,
hit.
No.
You know, the way we would see Jerry Lawler do it, for example. But the way it played out afterwards, like, where Randy Orton was, like, really in pain and, like, really, like, suffering and, like, shaking, that was well done.
Felt bad for him, man. That was scary, though. But I was actually surprised to actually see that move. I was like, wow, they did a pile driver. I was like, oh, my God, you know? And I meant that in a good way. That was one of my favorite moves. So.
Yeah, so this could potentially be the title match at Survivor Series. If it doesn't happen at Survivor Series, it's definitely happening at Saturday night's main event. But by Friday, we should know for sure. If the match isn't made official by Friday, then they're going to hold off on it.
You know what? Because it's Cody Rhodes, that would be weird if he's not. I mean, it's Cody Rhodes, for God's sakes. You know what I mean? That would be weird if he's not on the card. You know, so I think they will make the match official for Survivor Series.
It's possible, but another match we will probably see at Survivor Series is a women's War Games match, considering the way that Raw ended this past Monday. We had the women's tag team title match between Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair against Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. I'm not sure why they did this match so soon, but whatever, we got it anyway. And there was one spot where Bianca almost was about to hit Jade by mistake, but she stopped herself.
Hmm.
Shit. And then Nia Jax and Tiffany Stratton randomly came out and tried to interfere and cost Bianca Jade the match. But eventually Bianca was able to hit Liv with the KOD and they were able to retain the titles.
That was a bit odd to see Nia Jax interfere. You're the women's champion from SmackDown and you interfere on Raw. That was odd.
Yeah, I know they wrestled... Nia and Tiffany Stratton the Friday before on SmackDown, so I guess maybe that's how it got played into. But regardless, yes, Bianca and Jay retained, then Nia Jax attacked them from behind, and then Naomi and Io Sky came out to even the odds to fight off Nia, Liv, Raquel, and also Tiffany Stratton, and the four of them stood tall at the end of Raw to end the show. So it's looking like this is what we're going to get at Survivor Series for the women's side for a War Games match.
Yeah.
A little random, a little weird. Honestly, they don't even need to do a War Games match. They could just do it as like a regular Survivor Series elimination match. But from the way it's looking like it, they're probably going to do War Games.
Kurt, when was the last time we actually had a traditional, you know, Survivor Series matchup?
2021.
Wow. You're right. I mean, I have to agree with you on that. I don't think it's how the way it's set up and how the way it's done, it is a bit weird to do it that way. I think, yeah, I agree with you. They should have just do like a traditional, you know, or 4-on-4 or 5-on-5 traditional Survivor Series matchup. I think that would be better.
Yes, and we'll see which fifth member gets added to each team as the weeks go on. But I think I have a feeling of who's going to be on each team. But we'll see how that plays out in the next week.
Yeah.
I actually kind of already found out because Raw was actually taped for next week already after Raw this week. I'm not going to give it away right now, but I think most of you can probably figure it out. But we'll talk about that next week.
Okay.
Yeah, but they're still teasing that split between Bianca and Jade, which some people are upset about. But look, we all knew this was coming. We all knew this was going to happen.
It's an end.
It was inevitable.
I can't say it. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, we all knew it was going to happen. I mean, as soon as they paired the two up, we all knew that eventually they're going to split. Come on, it happens all the time. Just like Montez Ford and
Angelo Dawkins.
They eventually need to break up, but not yet after the promo that I saw from them. Not yet, but still think they need to break up, but not yet.
And I don't know if you heard this rumor. Coachman brought it up. I wouldn't really take it too seriously. But apparently Bianca and Jade don't get along in real life.
What?
I don't really believe it. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I doubt it.
That's from Coachman?
Yeah, Jonathan Coachman said that. He said from a reliable source that he knew in WWE that the two of them don't get along.
That's a bit weird after, you know, they kind of like parted ways with each other and he's apparently, you know, a reliable source. That's weird.
I take that with a grain of salt. I mean, maybe there might be some truth to that, but they seem like they're cool with each other from the vibe I get. But like I said, we're not there. We don't know for sure. But considering who it came from, I would take it with a grain of salt.
True.
But they are splitting up. They are splitting up. It is happening. There is no debate about it. That is one of the marquee matches at WrestleMania 41.
Have to. Come on now. Those are big female egos. Come on. One of your big superstars, Jade Cargill, upcoming one now. That's a moneymaker right there.
And just the way they both like match up with each other. Like when you look at them stare each other down face to face, you're like, yo, that's a marquee match.
That too, and a potential Jay Cargill versus a Charlotte Flair. That is a potential moneymaker right there because they had a brief face-off backstage.
Yeah, before Charlotte got hurt, I remember. I think I know who Charlotte's facing at WrestleMania when she comes back. I think she'll be back by Royal Rumble time. I think it's going to be probably her and Nia Jax at WrestleMania.
Hmm.
I could see that.
Okay.
Yes, but coming up this Friday on SmackDown, we do have two championship matches, and one of them will be Nia Jax defending the Women's Championship against Naomi, the former champion, and also it's do or die for the Street Profits as they will challenge Motor City Machine Guns for the tag team titles. And from the promo that Montez cut on Friday last week, something's going to go down. Something is going down after this match.
Hey, I tweeted it. Heel turn coming. When you watch that promo and you see the intensity of Montez Ford, I've never seen that intensity from him like that before. He meant business, and look, they're just tired of being held back, and they felt like it's championship or bust. That's clearly what he said in that promo, and I loved every moment of it. I love the intensity of it. We usually see the Street Profits as, you know, just, you know,
happy-go-lucky guys,
you know, just chill, easy going, exactly. But not anymore. And man, you can't be like that anymore if you mean business, and they meant that. But I do sense a heel turn coming.
Yeah, something's happening. Something has to happen after that match, because they cannot go on the way they've been going on. They can't.
And look, I got a... When I tweeted that, it was more like 90% was like, yeah. And then it was like that 10%. I'm like, no, there's no need to turn heel. I was like, no, they need to turn heel.
The hell there isn't.
They need to turn heel. Someone was saying DIY needs to turn heel. I'm like, no, why?
Yeah, they've been teasing that. They've been teasing that with Tommaso Ciampa. Oh. They've been teasing that with him being frustrated.
I mean, no, dude. Like, I think Street Profits is a more deserving team that needs to turn heel. If you want to, you know, most of the time when you want to prove yourself and be successful, you got to turn heel. We've seen it before.
Yeah, and even I was hearing something, I don't know how true it is, that apparently their contract is up like at the beginning of 2025.
Yeah.
There could be even a chance that they leave if that's true.
Yeah.
But then again, I don't really see Montez especially leaving because his wife works there. They travel together and all that. That would be kind of strange if he were to leave. Oh, that would
be, yeah, that would be weird. That would be very stressful, man, and weird. But like I said, look, I don't know what's going to happen, right? I still think that they need to split up. I still think Montez Ford. You got to remember, here's the one thing you got to, people didn't notice. Montez Ford was the only one who was talking.
Damn.
That was, yeah, you noticed that. I was surprised Angelo Dawkins didn't say anything, but Montez Ford was the one who really stood out because he was the only one who spoke. That shows that, I've been saying this since day one, Montez Ford needs to split and break out, become a singles superstar, man.
Yeah, he could be a challenger for LA Knight for the U.S. title in a few months. That would be a great feud.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hell yeah. I'm down for that. I can see that.
Imagine the two of them going back and forth in the mic.
Oh, hell yeah. Especially what I saw from him last week. I could definitely see that.
Yeah, but only time will tell. But it feels like all of the black tag teams are going to be breaking up with Bianca and Jade. Also, Montez and Angelo Dawkins, potentially. And also, everything going on with New Day.
Yeah, but guess
what? Yeah, all the black tag teams are breaking up.
Yeah, I know. But guess what, though? Here's the good thing about that. This eventually leads into bigger things for all of them. Have a spot on the card. Elevate your status. That's all what it's all about. It's all part of the plan, Kurt.
Yeah, and the New Day 10-year anniversary is coming up at the end of the month. Mm. I think Big E's going to be involved in it somehow.
Oh, of course.
And they're going to have like some kind of like Festival of Friendship type celebration. And that's right. Where Xavier's going to turn on them.
Exactly. Yep. Oh, I mean, you can't, come on now. You can't have that festival without that celebration without Big E. Come on now. He's like the centerpiece. He's the cornerstone of the New Day. Come on now. So,
yeah. I like what they did on Raw Monday where like they like further the disintegration between them where like Xavier got mad at Kofi for taking a match with Pete Dunne and then he interfered in the match and Kofi got mad at him and that caused Kofi to get distracted and Kofi lost. And when Xavier was like helping him up, Kofi pushed him and then kept arguing. Yeah, this shit is getting ugly between them. Ugly, son.
I know. That's what I'm saying. The potential, it's going to happen. Everything's going to fall apart.
Yeah, but B's like that, but it's been playing out well, and I think they can ride with this all the way to WrestleMania.
I can see that.
And also what happened on Friday on SmackDown, Nick Aldis made a revelation, and that revelation is that there's going to be a new championship to be challenged for in WWE, and that's going to be a Women's United States title.
Yeah, I saw that. Saw the belt. It's the same belt. It's just the strap is white. I heard
he's like that.
Yeah, I heard the right person to compete for that title is Becky Lynch. I heard somebody mention her, put her name in.
Whenever she comes back, I mean, we don't know if she'll be back. Maybe by Royal Rumble time. Maybe even after that. Yeah, there's been no word on when she'll ever return. She's still technically not under contract with them.
Yeah, but somebody just threw her name in a hat.
I would say one person who's deserving of it for her character work she's been doing, I would say, is maybe Chelsea Green.
Yeah.
Chelsea Green would be a good pick. Also, Mee Chin would be a good pick, too. even Naomi. I think Naomi would do well with it.
Bailey, maybe.
No. I think it should go to somebody who's like hasn't really been in that women's title picture and who hasn't like really had the women's title pretty much at all. I think it should go to somebody more who's like, you know, been deserving, who's really good, but kind of gets looked over because the main women's title picture is so saturated.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Good point.
Yeah, so somebody like that. I'm hearing that it maybe might float across both shows.
It should. It should be deserving for both shows. It should be equal. I'm definitely cool with that.
Yeah, maybe Io Sky. Io Sky would be a good pick.
Yeah. I like the idea of that. It's fair for everybody.
Yeah, it's very fair. I'm glad that they came up with this concept. I know NXT's had a women's North American title for a while, but now the main roster has a secondary women's title, and glad to see it.
Yeah.
And Ricochet recently did an interview with Chris Van Vliet, and he was opening up about, like, you know, the reason why he left WWE and also the reason why his fiance Samantha Irvin left WWE. And basically the reason why he left was because he kind of knew for years that, like, you know, WWE wasn't really the place for him. He didn't really feel like for his wrestling style that he belonged there, especially for, like, the way they treated him, how, like, he would always lose, how he would always be used to, like, make other talent look good, whoever it may be. And then as the years went on, and, like, even, like, most recently, he was being used to lose to, like, you know, the newer people coming up, like the Carmelo Hayes and people along those lines. So he's like, yo, I've been here for like 5-6 years. I'm not trying to start over. I'm trying to elevate further. And once he saw that, like, it wasn't really going to happen that way and work out that way, that's when he kind of decided that it was time for him to move on.
You remember when he was U.S. champion back in 2019? He only had that belt for, like, what, less than a month, and he lost to AJ Styles. Remember that?
Yep. And then he lost AJ Styles again at SummerSlam the next month. And then he wasn't really doing much.
Yeah. Yeah, that to me, that was the, like, the downfall. Like, just
it was that too.
It was the start of it.
Yeah, it was that, but another black eye on his time there was when they gave him that title match with Brock Lesnar at one of the Saudi shows, and then he just lost to Brock Lesnar like in not even a minute. I'm like, yo. Realistically, no one was expecting him to win. I get that, but you could have at least let him have a competitive match. Yo, Brock Lesnar and Ricochet, that's a fun match. I could see that being good. Why the fuck are you going to give us 30 seconds?
They had a little bit of a build-up, and to have that match go to end less than a minute, I was like, dude.
This is garbage. It was garbage, yo.
All for nothing. I get it. It was a Saudi show, but damn it. You literally had like a small little buildup for it to end less than a minute. But yeah, I go back to the when he was U.S. champ, you know, 5 years ago. Dude, he only had that belt for less than a month and he loses. And I thought, like, dude, that was odd, man. That was weird. And I felt bad for him. Because when he won the title, I was so happy for him. Like, he deserved it. I think that he was really hot with the crowd at that time, and it just it faded away once he lost. I felt like he didn't deserve to drop the belt that early.
Yeah, it sucked, but I mean, what are you going to do about it? Shit happened.
And this is 2019. This is one of the
black guys in that year. Yes, I know.
Tell you, man. One of those things.
Also,
just small stuff like that.
Yeah, but eventually he did get the Intercontinental title like in 2022, even though they didn't really, you know, focus on him too much. And then eventually he lost it to Gunther, and that was the beginning of Gunther's long reign. But then when Triple H took over, he was featured on the show a lot more. Like, you know, he would get like to have, you know, good matches and be showcased, but realistically he wasn't really going past a certain point. Like, the biggest thing he did was like that feud with Logan Paul.
Yeah.
And then they had Samantha Irvin kind of involved in that too, when like Logan Paul was like kind of like, you know, taunting her a little bit. That's like when they could have maybe made Samantha Irvin a manager, like, or a character on the show, but it just never went that way. And then he even also went into the fact that, like, you know, the reason why she also left was that, you know, basically confirming what she said, how like she always wanted to be a character and like a manager, like, you know, a Paul Heyman type character, but they just only saw her like as a ring announcer.
I don't know, how do you feel about that? Do you think they should have, like, tested it out and, you know, hey, let's see what she could do? I mean, look, I know that's something that she didn't want to do, you know what I mean? But, hey, she did a damn good job as a ring announcer, and she's considered one of the greatest ring announcers in this business. But something that that she didn't want to do. She wanted to do something else. I felt like, hey, maybe they should have like tested it out with her and see where it goes. But hey, it is what it is.
Yeah, it wouldn't have hurt to at least try it out. Try it out for a little while. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But for whatever reason, they didn't want to do it. And Ricochet was even saying, like, you know, pretty much WrestleMania was like the highest she could have gone as far as being a ring announcer. Because remember WrestleMania, she announced the whole show, and then she had that memorable announcement of Cody winning the title at the end when she was crying, and everybody like praised her, including Michael Buffer for her performance at WrestleMania. So, because like Van Vliet asked him, like, you know, if him leaving like made her want to leave too, but he basically said that she'd been thinking about it for a while, like, you know, and pretty much like WrestleMania was pretty much as high as she could go, and there was like nothing else more she could do as far as being a ring announcer goes. And he made the comparison for Samantha Irvin for, like, you know, what she's been doing. It's like making Mariah Carey a ring announcer.
Really?
Yeah, like, you have Mariah Carey, who's this great vocalist, great singer, but you have her being a ring announcer instead of a singer or a performer.
I mean, she'll still use her nice voice, though, I mean, but...
Yeah, but he just basically said that she, in a way, she broke tradition, and that's why, like, people are so mad at her for the fact that she left, because, like, Howard Finkel never left suddenly, and Lillian Garcia never left suddenly or anything along those lines. So for her to be that one person to do that, considering how much people like her and praise her work, it pissed them off to that degree. Even though they didn't handle it well with the way they responded, that's maybe the reason why they felt the way they did.
Okay, I'm sorry, because other ring announcers didn't leave early. Okay, there's wrestlers in our business.
They didn't leave suddenly the way that she did.
I know, but still, though, they had their reasons to leave. They had their personal reasons to leave.
No, I'm not knocking her. I'm not knocking her at all for...
No, I'm knocking the fans who have been angry about it.
You can be disappointed that she left. That's fine. You can be bummed out that she left and that she's not going to be on the show anymore. But to be mad at her and to hold a grudge against her for it, that's not cool, bro. Not cool.
It doesn't matter if you're a ring announcer, wrestler, or, hell, working backstage. If you have a personal reason to leave, then... You have that power to leave. You can't just talk about, the ring announcers never left. Like, there's wrestlers in this business in the past that were just on top of their game, and they decided to leave early because of personal reasons. Prime example, Brock Lesnar during his first run.
Yeah, people were pissed at him for that one being one example. But that was also his right to leave. Yeah. Even though it was sudden, that was still his right to leave.
Right.
Yeah, he basically said that, like, you know, now she just wants to, you know, be at home and, like, you know, take care of their kids, make sure they get to school and do their homework and all that good stuff. She might not even want to, you know, go on tour, like, do any singing or anything along those lines. Maybe she just wants to stay at home. And if she has enough money to stay at home and do that, then that's her prerogative.
Like I said, man, just everybody. People got to respect people's decision at the end of the day. You know what I mean? So. No matter what.
Yeah, they do.
Exactly. I've seen, not just in wrestling, I've seen other athletes, you know, take time off, leave early, you know, when, especially when they're in the prime of their careers. I've seen this all the time. It happens.
Michael Jordan retired after winning his first three-peat, his first three titles. Right after that, he just retired and went to go play baseball.
Yeah, even though he came back, though, but still, he literally was in the prime of his career, and he decided to leave. I think there was a one Olympian, I forgot her name. She took some time off to focus on her mental health. Andrew Luck is a prime example, the former quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. He was like in the prime of his career, but he decided to retire early. And he was like the face. He was like the. This was after Peyton Manning. Andrew Luck was going to be that next guy, that next franchise quarterback for the Colts. But, you know, he was there for a few years, and he decided, hey, you know what? I wanted to step away. So it happens.
Yeah, at the end of the day, she has the right to make her own decisions and live her own life. The same thing goes for Ricochet. Even if AEW is not hot right now and AEW is going through their internal issues right now, if he's happier in AEW, if he gets to have the type of matches that he wants to have that make him happy in AEW, that's his right to do so. And he even alluded to that too, about the fact that he always grew up as a fan of WWE, but he never really pictured himself in WWE. He just wanted to be a wrestler. He just wanted to, you know, perform. And AEW is now giving him that opportunity to perform in a way maybe WWE wasn't, and that's why that's the right place for him. He seems to like it so far. He's spoken highly of it from his experience so far, and you're more power to him for that.
Yeah, and I respect that. Hey, you know, you want to exploit more of your talents and be used more somewhere else, then go, by all means, do it.
Yeah, like, and hell, even if AEW's crowds are empty, even if, like, nobody watches the show that much anymore the way they used to, it's his right to go there if he wants to. If he's happier there, if he feels more fulfilled there, then let him be.
Yeah, even though it that issue's still, like, it's still a big issue with them, with the crowd, but hey.
Yeah, it is a huge issue. We won't deny that, but I will say that little rant I saw Ricochet go off on Twitter, which he claimed and also Samantha Irvin claimed was fake. If it was real, like that whole way that he went off about, like, you know, everybody talking shit about the both of them and just like some of the things he was saying and to like go off like to that degree, it feels like it's starting to get to him a little bit.
I mean, yeah, man, because dude, everybody's just, you know, just bashing your wife for the decision. I mean, come on. That would bother anybody. I mean, who, like I said this before, I mean, who are you? Who are you to get mad at somebody for a job that you're not even doing? Probably a job that you can't even do as good as that person. Who are you to judge or to get mad about?
But do you think maybe it's kind of beneath him to be arguing with trolls and like going back and forth with trolls who were, you know, just trying to get a reaction out of him and whatnot, considering that he's a millionaire, he's popular, he has his own life, he doesn't really need to, you know, waste his time with that bullshit?
You know what, when it comes to social media, there's certain things you have to choose your battles wisely, especially,
yeah, exactly,
social media, man. Kevin Durant is a prime example, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, and kind of in a way, that's kind of what Ricochet's being called out as, like being kind of like Kevin Durant with, you know, his most recent interactions.
Yeah, you just gotta, certain things you can't do on social media. That's one of them. I get, if it was true, I get in defending and honoring your wife, but at the same time, it's like you gotta suck your pride in and hold back.
Yeah, the one thing at the end that kind of rubbed me the wrong way, the one comment at the end, like I said, if it is true, is where he said to all of you haters, and hell, to all of you who've supported me from day one, fuck all of you. I don't trust any of you. I'm like, what the hell was that all about? Yeah, apparently he said it was fake, and Samantha Irvin said it was fake, but like I said, who knows? Maybe they got hacked.
Yeah.
But let's get into some more positive news. It was just announced last week that Elimination Chamber will be taking place on March 1st at the Rogers Center in Toronto, which is actually the old Toronto Sky Dome.
Yes, I still call it Sky Dome. I guarantee you all the locals in Toronto still call it Sky Dome. But yeah, damn it, I've been wanting them to bring a WrestleMania back over there for years. But hey, it's okay. They're bringing a PLE over there, I'm all for it. And I love when the WWE comes to Canada, especially Toronto. So I'm excited and I'm happy for them.
Yeah, this is their first time at that stadium since WrestleMania 18. A show I know you have a lot of fond memories of.
Ah.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to seeing what it looks like. And I look forward to that show because Elimination Chamber has been delivering the last few years. It's been definitely...
Yeah, it has.
Coming back up and like making that show in between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania like a must-see show too. The way like it used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be popping up in there. I'm looking forward to seeing how they make the Sky Dome look. I'll still call it the Sky Dome too, just like you still call the Crypto.com Arena the Staples Center.
Yeah.
It'll be nice. It'll be the fourth straight year that Elimination Chamber is going to be taking place, not in America.
Yeah. Where were they at earlier this year?
This year they were in Australia for the Rhea Ripley and Nia Jax match.
Australia.
2023, they were in Montreal for the Sami Zayn Roman match, and then 2022, they were in Saudi Arabia.
Okay, yeah, I think the one in Montreal is one of my favorites.
Oh, that was a great show. Oh, shit, that show was so good.
Yeah.
Yes, but MVP was recently opening up about his reason to leave WWE, and he basically said that when there's a new regime and new management that comes in, it's good for some people, but it's bad for other people. And basically, he said like he didn't really click with that new management, and that's why he decided to leave.
Hey, his personal thing. He wanted to leave and didn't feel right over there, and he decided to leave. And hey, look where he's at now. The newly formed Hurt Business is in AEW now. So hey,
the Hurt Syndicate. The Hurt Syndicate.
Yeah.
And it's official that it's going to be Swerve Strickland and Bobby Lashley at Full Gear.
No surprise.
It's going to be here in Jersey, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Prudential Center.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but, I mean, yeah, it's weird that, you know, Triple H, when he took over, like, he couldn't really find much to do with Bobby Lashley or MVP. It's weird how they kind of got pushed to the wayside the way they did.
I know, man. We talked about this before. That was, you know what? I also want to put you know, some of that blame on Vince McMahon, because Vince McMahon was the one who decided.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Early, like way too early from the get go. But yeah, but when Vince left, we all thought that Triple H was gonna, you know, elevate them more, bring them back. But you know, he didn't.
Yeah, I guess this goes as one example of how, like, not everything that Triple H does creatively is perfect, and that there's some people that don't get the opportunities they maybe deserve, or maybe they're not used to their full potential. This, I guess, is one example of that, of where, you know, not all of it is perfect.
I think that happens with everybody, any person in power, you know what I mean? If you're, like, a GM or an owner, but, you know, not every decision is going to be the right decision, so...
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like kind of like similar, like the criticism he's been getting lately about, you know, like not doing right by the black wrestlers and excluding them and all that jazz. And there was even a quote that came out from the DX book where like Triple H called The Rock too sensitive for like being against that, you know, nation parody that they did all those years ago when, you know, X-Pac had like blackface pretending to be Mark Henry.
Oh, he talked about that?
Yeah, like in the DX book that I guess that came out a few years ago, this quote's been like making its way online the last 2 days of where he basically called The Rock too sensitive for, you know, speaking against that and for being against that. But he said The Rock eventually was cool about it afterwards, after he saw how it played out.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's crazy. You know, we're talking about what Triple H is doing now. Look, I believe that how the way things are going right now with New Day, with Bianca and Jade potentially, you know, breaking up, and you look at the Street Profits and see what's going to happen with them. I think with all three of these factors going on right now, I think changes are going to be made going into next year where, like I said, all of them are going to eventually going to have a part on the card in a PLE that's going to make some changes. So that's my prediction.
Yeah, and also it came out recently that Netflix is requesting that Roman, CM Punk, and Cody Rhodes be a part of Raw when it moves to Netflix in January.
The first night? First night?
Well, not the first night, but just in general, like for them to be on the show permanently.
I see no problem with that. That's, come on, you make a big business move like that on Netflix, I mean, sure, why not? I mean, that's not too much to ask for. I mean, come on, that's a big thing. So Netflix is making some big changes. We're getting some sports on Netflix now. It's funny, this upcoming weekend, we're going to get the Mike Tyson and Jake Paul fight.
We're going to get that, and also the second half of the last season of Cobra Kai drops Friday, too.
Oh, yeah, I was wondering when that was going to... The new season was going to drop. I haven't heard anything. I've been hearing more about Squid Game. I can't wait for Squid Game to come out.
Also, Bad Boys 4 is on there now, too.
Oh, yeah, I've been on that.
New Bad Boys. So, yes, we have Survivor Series coming up in 2.5 weeks. The build for it's looking really good. I know what they're going to add, the Women's War Games match. I don't know if they're going to add Cody and Kevin Owens, but if they don't, we'll obviously more than likely get it at Saturday night's main event.
Nah, they need to.
It will be weird to have Cody off of Survivor Series because he hasn't missed the PLE all year.
They need to, as a business move, it's Cody Rhodes. I mean, come on. Like, they have to have him on that card. That would be weird if they didn't.
The only PLE he didn't wrestle at this year was Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
But he was a part of a talk show segment, though.
Yeah. And that was before Mania. But, you know, since that moment at Mania and you're the champion, literally, like, the face of the company, like, that's weird that you're not on the card.
Yeah. I don't know if he's facing The Rock at WrestleMania or Randy Orton. But regardless, I know he's not losing that title anytime soon.
No. We're not crossed that bridge yet. We're not close. We're not even at Royal Rumble yet. Let's not think about that right now. We're focused on Survivor Series, and I can't wait for that. When we cross that bridge, we're going to...
Are you going to see The Rock's new movie this weekend, the Christmas movie?
I actually heard it. I think I've been hearing some good things about that. When does it come out?
Friday. I'll say this. I'm willing to go out with a girl on a date to go see it. Like, if I'm dating a girl and she wants to go see it, I'll go with her to see it, but we'll probably be making out half the time, so I'll watch it and I won't watch it.
I'm actually gonna, if I'm being quite honest with you, I'm gonna wait. I think the one movie that I'm looking forward to this month is Gladiator 2.
Oh yeah, that comes out next week. That's right.
I've been, I heard so far some good reviews. I'm not putting high expectations on it. The first one is a masterpiece, will always be better. But I've been hearing somewhat favorable reviews for the second one.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I mean, they waited a long time to come out with a sequel, so if they've waited that long, I hope they really took their time with it and made something good.
I don't know. I was like against it at first, though, but hey, it is what it is. I still want to see it. Ridley Scott, he's one of my favorite directors, so.
Oh, Ridley Scott's a beast. All due respect to you, I'm going to have to disagree with something you posted yesterday. The best Ben Stiller movie is probably Meet the Parents.
I knew everybody was going to say that. I mean, come on, it's up there. Oh, everybody's going to say that. I mean,
yeah, it's fair. Say,
yeah. I like Dodgeball.
Dodgeball
is just too fun to me. But you know what's another? I forgot. Another Ben Stiller move that I like. I love Along Came Polly.
I saw that once. It was cool. One underrated movie of his, though, was Heartbreak Kid.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good. I like that one.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. And it's funny, his character from Dodgeball was very similar to the character he played in that movie Heavyweights, that Disney movie from back in the day.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah, I heard. I see the.
You could like definitely tell they're very similar.
Yeah.
Also, you can't forget about There's Something About Mary. Also, Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, that was one of my friends posted that. They said, "Oh, Tropic Thunder is a favorite."
All right, but until next time, for John Randall, this is Conscious Kurt with another edition of Clash of the Champions. Take care. Enjoy the rest of your week. And remember, don't be an asshole in real life for social media, because that toxic bullshit is for the birds. Peace.